feet, cotton sheets, to hell with sleeping, dying to wake you up. Me and you and me, baby, we can't be close enough. It just takes my lips on your skin, and you start to smile. We both know that world's right outside. Coffee strong, shower's on. Come on, baby, water's fine. You draw some hearts on the glass, reach for.
Friends, welcome back to the Cuda Cafe. I'm your host, Weezer, and I'm so glad you chose to join us today because we have a return guest, none other than singer-songwriter Steph Mahan from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm so delighted to welcome you back, Steph. Welcome back to the Cuda Cafe.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been so long since I got to see you and talk to you again.
I guess the CD release party, right?
Yeah, the CD release party back in December.
Yeah, first of December, yeah.
So when Brendan and I went to your CD release party, what an amazing, amazing time that was, my friend. Seriously.
Thanks.
It had been
I was finally got a really great band, you know. I just had this band that just is just everyone's nice, and we really, really consider ourselves a band.
Did you record with them, the band that you were playing with?
Most of them, yeah. The only one that was not in the recording, because you know that this new record was recorded live, and we did that whole record in 2 days.
Yeah.
From start to finish. It was a really amazing, fun thing. And people that were not on the record were my bass player and my drummer. And that was, on the record, it was Dave Ungate and his son Noah Ungate, who are just, I've known Noah since he's been a baby, and Dave from forever. And then, you know, Dave's like this guru who travels with all these other people and does studio stuff. So I've got an equally great drummer and bass player now, Matt Harper, and Joe Dorn. And they're just, and they just blended really well with T and Tommy and Barry singing back up and stuff. And my friend Drew, who just had a baby.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Well, he didn't have the baby, of course.
That would be really awesome.
The baby. Yeah. Yeah. And she's so cute. It was so sweet because she was born like at 9:15, and it was just like we're such a close-knit band that like at 10 o'clock, you know, 45 minutes after the baby's been born, he sends me a picture and says, hey, can this out the band now? I got everyone know he's got a new little family.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's really nice to have somebody who... We like each other, you know, because when you're on the road with somebody, and we don't, I travel a lot myself, but when you do go on the road, you want to make sure they like them.
Yeah, you guys definitely have a lot
really
of great chemistry going on when you play. There's something about you live that just blows me away. It's quite a show, and I'm really thrilled that you actually did a live recording, because you actually managed to capture some of that. So let's talk a little bit about, you had such a journey just to creating this third album. Let's talk about that.
Oh, God. You know, somebody asked me that same question, and I don't know how to explain it, except my first two records, they wanted me to compare my other two records to this record, because it was such a long period between records. And I was like, you know, there's no way to explain it, except my other two records were really kind of about a broken heart, and that, and which is very, very hard to deal with. Broken hearts are horrible to have. But this third record was really about a broken life, and coming back to the person that my mom and dad raised me to be, you know, living with mistakes I've made and trying to fix those and mending old friendships and getting rid of friendships that weren't good for me, and just really finding myself again. And it was a hard record to write. I mean, some of the stuff is so personal on there that you know, sometimes I can't listen to the record right now, even, you know, it's too close to me. I love playing the songs out live, and I love. And you see me enough to know that I just don't lie on stage. I'm probably more honest when I'm doing an interview or when I'm on stage than I am in my... It's just easy to be who I am there. And I know I feel safe on stage. And I just think people want to know the real reason why things are written. And it was a hard record. You know, I've had a hard way to... Not a hard way to go, just spiritually. You know, just kind of... making mistakes and being ashamed of some of my mistakes and fixing them and learning to live with that and becoming who I want to be and who I'm happy with and my mom and dad would be proud of.
Oh, I'm sure that goes without question. I mean, you're such an amazing and kind person.
Did you miss the show when my mom and dad came in?
No, I missed that one.
and what's so scary is my father's the elder of the Church of Christ, and both my parents are very, 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 they're religious, but they're more spiritual than religious. Like, they're not like most normal, and I'm putting two fingers up in the air, Christians.
Uh-huh.
They're just really, really good people. And I don't change my show, and I'm kind of wrong to, or off color. But I'm kind of, you know, off color. I will say I'm patchy. And I don't change my show for anybody. I'm just like who I am, and mom and dad just roll their eyes and just kind of go with the flow. Yeah, it was so funny. Last time, I guess my mom and dad came back a year ago to my last show, and in Nashville. And I'm used to a lot of people at the show coming up and, you know, getting CDs and standing in line and meeting me if I haven't met them before. And it was that kind of thing. And it was so funny. Like, my mom and dad talked about so much during the show that I switched up to their stage. I was expecting all these throngs of people to come up and go, hey, did you? I had no one come up there. But I was there with my mom, and she had a receiving line of like 15 people. I was like, hey, it's Kim, my friend now. she's kind of like, oh, yes. Like, they could kiss her ring. She's very funny. My mom and dad are very funny people.
You do talk a lot about your family in your songs on this new album.
But... yeah, I do. I think really, you know, and I consider my friends family as well. And I'm very lucky that way. I have very, very, like I'm staying with a very dear friend right now who I consider a family member. You know, it's, I've been very lucky to pick up family members along the way, but also coming from a really, really great family. I did a show in Memphis at an alternative club. And, you know, thinking I've had, you know, a few people there, you know, Memphis people and stuff. And swear, I looked out and like 25 people from my family, my mom's side of family, because they're from that area, they were there. My uncles and my aunts, and we had the best time that night. And I just think it's really cool. They just love me, and they want me to be happy. And I think that comes with inclusion, that family is truly about you love your kids enough to want them to be happy.
Definitely.
And you accept that. And you help them accept themselves, you know, and accept their mistakes, and you love them through it all. And I get that kind of family.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Yeah, I know I am. And I've never, ever, ever taken my parents for granted. I was the high school kid who always brought my friends home because I was proud of my parents, you know, and my brothers are the same way. I mean, I'm very lucky that way. I mean, I'm a really great family, you know. My dad could be cranky, but my mother is perfect. But then, you know, anyone who meets my family just falls in love with them. And, you know, my mom, whoever I'm with, my mom and dad, that's it. This is my guy. And that's, you know, their daughter-in-law, just like anybody else. I think that's great.
That is awesome. Tell me a little bit about Carnival Ride.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll start out by saying I have a song with my mother, but I can't even eat it out of my mouth without sobbing, so we won't even go there. But,
is it on the album?
Yeah, I mean, no, the song Metal Knot is not on the record.
Oh,
I never played it out. I didn't even do it. It's serious. I can't even do it in my living room.
Oh, really?
I didn't enough to write it. Yeah. But, it's a good song, but it's just talking about how my mom and dad raised me, about my mom, and, you know, and it's just like, you know, no one loves you like your mama. No matter what you do, your mom's always going to love you. And that's kind of what it's about. That the one line in it that I can't really hardly sing is, and I know one day that day will come, but I can't talk about that, so I just try to soak up her love every chance I can.
Wow.
Yeah, but so that will never eat out of my mouth. But song Carnival Ride, on the other hand, is it's kind of basically a true story that my mom and dad, my mom never worked, my daddy was on strike, he worked for McDonnell Douglas for 40 years, but he wouldn't cross a picket line for anything, he just was that kind of man. And still is very loyal. And it came time to, summertime, the fair came to town and wanted so badly. I was probably six. I'd say five in the song, but I think I was six. But I wanted to go so bad because all my little neighborhood friends were going. I was like, oh, I want to go. And we just didn't have the money. And I never knew we were poor. I never felt poor, you know, during that time. We weren't, you know, poor. We didn't have money to go to the carnival. And that just ended up being a really, really great summer. And I was thinking about that one time my mom and daddy retired, they moved to Arkansas. And the last time I was in that backyard, I remember that night, and I remember that summer, and it's kind of evolved, you know, that song. And it's kind of like my dad with a lot of things. You know, he was an engineer by trade, but really, to us kids, he was just a carnival ride. Because he was one of the kind of dads that played with us, you know?
Yeah. You know, that song, it really, really touched me when I listened to it, because, you know, my father passed when I was 12 years old, and my father and I were very, very close, and he used to, it brought to memory the songs he used to sing to me as a kid, like he used to sing You Are My Sunshine and stuff like that, and it kind of makes me choke up a little bit right now just thinking about it, but your song actually stirred up all those wonderful memories that I had with my own father. And I thank you for sharing those memories, you know, to help me bring... I haven't thought about those in a long time, Steph. A long time.
Oh,
yay.
Well, thank you for telling me that. It's, you know, I think, usually when I do that song, there's somebody who is ended up crying, and I will go over after the show and apologize. I'm sorry I made you cry. And they're like, no, I was just thinking of something that made me so happy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a daddy always makes the kid happy, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, I give them good memories. And I think you and I, you sound lucky as I am, just to have some good memories.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
Right now, there's a lot of kids who aren't that lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad was awesome. Now, how did you come about the song Pray for Peace? I mean, tell me about that.
Oh, wow. I was actually, the way I came about it was, do you really want to know the real kid story?
Yeah, yeah, always.
I never really tell the story on it. I mean, I don't really ever, I was watching a friend's dogs one night, and I was doing my bills, and I was wondering how in the hell am I going to pay some stuff. I'm going through a bad way and stuff. I couldn't pay some stuff. I could never be rich. Never. But there are times, months that are better than others and stuff, like everybody, you know?
Right.
And I was really worried, and I was just like, God, I'm tormented by this. Do I need to get a job? I'm tormented. And then I kind of started thinking about people who are so much worse off than me.
Yeah.
And I've been watching the news and kind of just, you know, hanging, and I just kind of recalled some of these stories, and people who I knew along the way, and I just kind of wrote, you know, as tormented as I am, these poor people must be more tormented. And I just kind of tried to get in their heads and try to live their lives to somebody, an abused wife, running to try to save her kids. And it doesn't matter about her. Really, she wants her kids to be safe.
Yeah.
And about the woman who's prayed for her child to die because she's suffering so much. And then about all of us who are, we're at war and we're at bad times and we all are praying just, give us peace, because I think we would love each other so much more if we all had peace.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the torment in our brain that make us so angry and hate each other and so angry and mean to each other. And if we just had peace, maybe make more peace, and then more peace, and then finally, you know, it won't be okay.
Wow.
But that's basically where that came from. It was kind of a simple idea all about me, but really, truthfully, when you start to think about it, I'm really lucky. You know, I can play the wham-wham card all day long, but you know, I've got a lot of friends, and I will never starve, and I will never not have a roof over my head, and I'm lucky that way. And I think some people think I might take that for granted, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. I know that. I try to appreciate them. I try to let them know how much I appreciate all my friends and everyone who's helped me on this path.
Oh, definitely, Steph. You're one of the most loving people I know, and fun people that I know, so you give more than you take, always.
Thank you.
But, you know, it's true, though, because even when, because I suffer from depression and everything, from, you know, just all sorts of stuff, and the way I get out of it often, and, you know, same thing with struggling to pay bills and everything. I got overdraft fees today, girl. But, you know, I have to, like, look around. Yeah, even though I live in this really small house, you know, that needs a lot of work and everything, but I got a house. I'm blessed. I got Brenda. I'm able to make these amazing connections and share in all this wonderful music with friends like you. And, you know, really, there's so much there. I have so much to be happy for. So, you know, it gets me through the rough times just to think about all those things that people don't have all that, you know? I'm really blessed with all that I have.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do. We have, you know, the risk of sounding tacky. We have our heads up our asses so often that we're just so, you know, on the pity card, and we can't see that we really do have it good.
Yeah.
I don't suffer from depression. I'm really actually a pretty happy-go-lucky person.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that torment everybody.
Some
are bigger than others, you know?
Yeah.
And we are lucky, and I'm so glad for people who can never see beyond their own noses to see that they've got pretty darn good, you know, if they do.
Do you think that if someone was happy-go-lucky all the time, that they could write music, good music?
I don't know if there is anybody who's happy-go-lucky all the time, but, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you probably would be happy songs, and that'd be great, because that's probably the song to sell, you know? I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know, that's a hard question. You know, torment a little, especially if you're in this business, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately, on the radio, well, not maybe unfortunately, but on the radio right now, they're always looking, my publisher was constantly looking for, you know, happy, upbeat positive. You know, and that was right when I was going through a breakup, you know, and I was like, I can't hold this people, this is right now. You know? And I'm just extra trying to like all this stuff, and it's, you know, it comes and goes.
Yeah.
I get an idea and I go with it, you know. And sometimes it's about my life, and sometimes it's about things I hear. It's always true, and I always try to get down to be as truthful as I can when I write it.
Well, I think Never a Long Way Home is really kind of a happy, positive song.
Yeah, it is, I think, and it's, you know, it's a ballad, but it is a very positive song, I think. It's just like, you know, it gets back to that, you know, home is where your heart is, I think. And I've got kind of my heart in a lot of places, you know, and I'm very lucky that way, yeah. And, you know, but you just gotta have people who love you, and, you know, home is what you make it.
Yeah, definitely. I recently had your buddy, Shelley Tackett, on the show. She did the show just before you. Did you know that?
I love Tackett.
Yeah, I met her at your show. That's how I hooked up with her.
And her father wrote Save Yourself, the second song on the record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. What a blast she is, I definitely tell you. You know,
I love her. And I tell you what, that girl sings her ass off.
Yeah, buddy.
We've written several things together, and she's fun to write with, she's fun to hang out with, and, you know, I just love her. Which reminds me, I just call that old girl, I need to call that old biatch.
Yeah, she told me, you know her song, Jerusalem Ridge? She told me a funny story that she was playing Jerusalem Ridge for her aunt, whose husband had passed away when she went back home. And everyone was really kind of getting into it. And then this couple got up and danced on the dance floor. And they started dirty dancing to Jerusalem Ridge. And she just could barely...
Ew!
Yeah. And you know that's like, it's really, it has a lot of religious undertones in it, you know?
Yeah.
And the funniest part was that when they were done, and she could barely contain herself, you know, during the whole thing, stop from laughing. But when they were done, the bartender said, you know what's worse? They're cousins. So do you have any stories like that, Steph?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had the song, What If, on my first record. I had this one couple one time come up to this carnival fair or whatever I was playing, and I'm sorry, but they were the two ugliest, toothlessest, grossest, greasiest people I've ever met in my entire life, and they were just, oh, and they were like, ow, ow, baby, and they looked at me pointing to what, that song, What If, oh, we made love for the first time to this song. I'm like, and I can never ever do that song without thinking about that.
Oh my god!
Oh, just poof was greasy or whirlwind. Oh, I know. Oh, you made love for the first time. Let me sing that song. Let me sing that song. Oh, Lord.
So if you, if you could pick one song on your new album that you choose as your favorite, what would it be?
I think Save Yourself is everybody else's favorite. I mean, after he's done doing that song, people have to go out and smoke. They're like, oh, that's hot. Not because I did, just because literally it's a hot song. But, you know, I love Things I Knew About You. And I like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, those are kind of related a little bit, those two songs. I could definitely see them. Well, we got to explain what Save Yourself is about, and then Things I Knew About You, to see how they could actually be about the same person.
Yeah, they weren't.
So tell us a little bit about each one.
Well, Save Yourself is just one of those, you know, when you get in so deep and you're drowning in this love that you just... It's sometimes, you know, you have to kind of tell a person, and it's not really just what I remember when we were writing it, it was me, Carver, and Tackett, and we were sitting in Carver's little writing lair, and we were just talking, and I think I was me that be like, you know, sometimes you met in love, you can tell the other person to save yourself, because I can't save you, and I'm not that, you know, I'm doing too deep. And we just all looked at each other's eyes, that really big, and we were all like, and that was about 11 o'clock that night, and after a bottle of of Jack. We finished the song at 8 o'clock, and I live in Carver, was not going to go see her boyfriend at the time. And all of a sudden, we get down, we like, did a little demo on, and we're like, man, that's a great song. And we're so proud of it. And she said, putting lipstick on, kind of plucked with her, and we're like, please do it. I'll change my mind. I'm going to see my boyfriend. Yeah, she did that. But it was a fun song to write. It was one of those things that you just know, you roll up your sleeves and you're not leaving until you get that song done. We didn't want to leave. It was just a magical day.
Yeah, it must be so cool when you're co-writing with somebody and then suddenly you hit upon that moment and things just flow. Wow.
Yeah. And it's, we all have such different writing styles. I tend to pace. And Carver tends to pace a lot. We'll just go around and we'll pick up kids up in the air, like, say a line, you know, and Carver, or Jack, is such a great guitar player, and we were trying to hammer out chords, and she was coming up with these great chords, and she was, like, you know, sitting there playing, and we were walking around, and, you know, she was coming up the line. It's just amazing. It's just, you almost had to wear a suit of armor not to get hit by a line in there. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, and things I knew about you, I'd broken up with the ideas of life for a while, wasn't that big a deal. And, you know, luckily, the good song came out of it. It was really, in hindsight, that was not a great relationship. You know, now, I'm glad I wrote it when I did, because I could write it now, it wouldn't have been such a heart-wrenching song. But at the time, I was kind of, my ego was bruised. I thought my heart was broken, but it was really just a bruised ego. And I remember writing it thinking, oh, I used to know everything about this person. And I don't hear about him anymore. There's kind of, I don't hear anything. It's kind of weird when you know something so much about somebody and you live with them and you know everything about them, and then all of a sudden, you don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I find that very weird. It just kind of leaves a big hole in your, you know, yourself, and you just don't know these people anymore, and you don't hear about them, and you wonder, I don't know, what they're doing or what they had for lunch or how they're doing or if they're happy. It's just, it's weird. And it's kind of, I don't know, I can't explain it really, except these things that I knew about you just kind of bothered me that I don't know them anymore.
You know, I think you guys should tour together, you, Tackett, and Carver.
Oh, we would never get anything done. We travel around, we're like, I'm not ready to get out of the car right, this is too much fun. Yeah, we've done some shows together, we probably need to, you know, do a lot more shows together than we do. And stuff, and it's like, I don't know. I know Carver stays at home. She stays home a lot more. I think her kids are off to college now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm on the road with myself. And I think Tackett tours a lot with Andy Mosher and those guys a lot too. So.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really fun to do a show like that together.
Definitely. And you would let me know when that happens, right? You're gonna text me when that happens.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to be calling out of work or something, girl.
Oh, you know, I know, girl. That would be really fun. In the round, we had that in the round together, and it was very funny. And so, like, we all got the same humor. We were all kind of quick with each other and stuff. It's a good group. And having Stan, I saw Kathy Stan in Chicago not too long ago. I played Chicago and stayed with her. And she was doing great. And, you know, bring Candy back for that. We got
made the shade. Oh man, I would love to see you guys in the round, definitely. I've just come to appreciate so many of you, and you've actually been the link for me for a lot of these artists, you know, just from having a connection with you.
Love together.
I know. I love you so much, man. So.
Thank you. I like people, and I like when people meet people through me, and just kind of, you know, everyone connects, and it's, you know, it's just life. You have to have some good times along the way.
Definitely. You know, in closing, your albums had a lot of rave reviews. I mean, you've got to truly be proud of this.
I am. I was really nervous when it started going out. I'm a publicist in New York picked me up.
Wow.
And one to help me out, and he's really getting some really good work done for me, and he's just this great guy, and he loves my stuff, and he's a nice guy, and he's just really working his ass off to make sure people hear it, and I don't know if it will take me to the next level. I hope so. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I won't have to worry about my next biscuit next time. I don't know. But it has been, when it first started going out there, I was a nervous wreck that I wasn't going to get, you know, when they're reviewing the record, they want to be honest with it.
Right.
And so far, I haven't gotten any. Maybe I haven't. Maybe it won't keep them from me. But so far, I haven't gotten any bad reviews, I don't think.
Yeah, everything I've read has been absolutely fabulous, and people keep referring your style to, like, Kathy Mattea and Mary Chapin Carpenter, you know, and they're, like, country music icons, so, I mean, gosh, you can't get a better comparison than that.
I'm not too proud to say, there's no way in hell I'm smarter than Mary Chapin Carpenter. She's like a genius.
Well, I don't think anybody in the world is.
No! You sit around them in a conversation, probably when you're talking, she's conjugating your nouns or something. I'm like, oh! You're so very smart. But, you know, she's very nice. I've met her a couple of times. Yeah. I've met Kathy Mattea several times. She couldn't be any nicer.
Oh, no, I've met her several times, too. Yeah, I love Kathy Mattea. Yeah, very
good. When they say that, I'm like, you know, I don't go, when the chair looks like Katie Lang, I get a little perturbed. I'll go toe-to-toe with my baby. Oh.
Well, not anymore. I think maybe on your second album.
I can't even stop that.
You kind of, on your second album, you kind of look like Katie Lang.
I'll leave the shot. It did not.
But no, your new headshots are wonderful. Definitely wonderful.
My friend Jamie did that. David Schramm, she's a great photographer. But the problem there is people come wanting to see that. And I'm like, guys, go get photographers, is all you got. Sorry, disappointment. She really is a great photographer.
No, I've said it before. You're just as beautiful in person, really. You are.
Whatever.
Are you kidding me? That's your shining star right there, definitely. Don't ever change. Oh, well, that's all right. I think you'll fit in the door.
Yeah, I went out to show my high school friends. They wanted to get together, and they heard me play kind of, but they never really took me seriously in high school. They were like, "I'm really just kind of." But they wanted to do a show, and they wanted to get together and have a reason to all get together. So they hired me to come and play, and finally at the gun club. So I went and played, and all my high school friends were there, and it was so much fun. It was just passive, all these, and they were like, "Oh my,
that's
really good." And I'm like, "Well,
oh, cool."
They were like surprised, and then they were like, "Oh, well, we haven't changed a bit because we had, you know, afterwards we all went out for breakfast stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, changed a bit," and I'm like, "You should have never written that in my high school yearbook." I really hadn't grown up much since high school. I still have a 12-year-old boy sense of humor. So my far, I'm like,
Oh, we do too, Steph. We do too. We laugh about each other's farts every morning. And Brenda and I have been together for 7 years. We've been in a relationship. But still, every morning, no matter who farts, somebody's got to comment on it.
Yeah. And any dirty off-color joke, and it's kind of tacky, it's just like...
In our house it's Hooters.
I am a 12-year-old boy.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me today. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you for this interview. Thank you so much. We got a lot of comments on the last one we did so many months ago, and it was really, really nice for you to do this. So
anytime. You're always welcome. Anytime you want to do an interview or just shoot the shit, you just give me a call or text me, and we'll make that happen. And I hope that we can get together in person again someday.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know where I live now.
Yeah, so. Definitely. You know what, if you're ever up to it, Steph, I really want to do this project with a live recording. I could bring my equipment to your house and we could do a live recording if you're ever up to it. I think that would be a blast.
Heck yeah, I'd love to. That'd be fun, actually.
Yeah, when things slow down for you and you're ready to do it, you just give me a call and we'll make that happen.
Well, if we let the things slow down, I'll be like 90. But, we'll just find it. We'll put it on the book.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
All right, so I'll talk to Casey and have Casey put me in the books.
Yes, my boss.
All right, honey. I love you, okay. And I love your music.
I love you too.
And you know, you do.
I'm glad you like the new CD.
I do. I adore it, and I can't even pick a favorite song. That's how much I like it. And you know, you just make the world a better place, one note at a time. One note at a time. My
friend. Thank you. That makes me feel good. Sometimes you can hear that. So thanks.
Yeah. All right. So.
And
until next time.
Friends, I'm glad though.
Yeah, we love you, Steph, and we'll talk to you later.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Steph Mahan, and she is an amazing person and a very, very gifted singer-songwriter. And, you know, I can't wait for our next interview, and hopefully that'll be a live recording. That would be fun to share with everybody so that you can get a taste of what a kick-ass performer she is and a, you know, even more of a wonderful personality. If you want to check out Steph Mahan's music, please go to stephmahan.com. She also has some wonderful photography on esty.com, but also put Steph Mahan in there. Or just search Esty Steph Mahan, and you should be able to find it on Google. Her new album is called Never a Long Way Home. It has gotten rave reviews all over the country, including right here in Nashville. She is one of our most cherished singer-songwriters in Nashville, Tennessee. I know that you'll be delighted to hear all the songs that are on this record. Please continue to go out and support Steph Mahan. Friend her on Facebook. She's a fun friend to have. Sometimes she has little contests and you can win little things from her. Participate in that. Join her on Facebook. Give her a shout-out on her website. And let's see what we got coming up on the Cooter Cafe. Well, I told you that we're planning on doing an interview with Mary Whelan, a singer-songwriter. She's written a book called Songwriting on a Shoestring, and she's going to be talking to us about that project. And also, we have hopes of getting Miss Jameson Lee back in the Cooter Cafe to talk about her project with the Care Plus Foundation, and also see what's going on with her and Lori Michaels and the girls and what's on their schedule. And we're in the process of booking Flo from the Bad Girls. And we hope to have Flo on for an interview in May. And how cool would that be? Because, you know, I'm a huge Bad Girls Club fan. So that's it for now. And until next time, remember to put a little cooter in your ear, sit back, relax, and join in the conversation.
Then around 7, when I finally had enough, I pulled your blankets off and laughed when you whined. These things I knew about you, these things I knew for sure. Just feels strange without you. I don't know a thing about you anymore. You loved a lazy Sunday when we go down to the village for a bite. Sometimes after working, you take a good long run when the weather was right. These are things I knew about you. These are things I knew for sure. Yeah, just feels strange without you. Job, the good, the bad. How about your weekends? Are they fun? We knew each other inside out, but along the way. even once. These things I want about you. These things I'll never know for sure.